Welcome back to One Day Closer with Mark and Dave. It is a Monday, and still we are rekindling a spirit of hope and truth in the discussion every day.
Every day.
Even when we're not online.
Every day.
Every day.
Every day.
You run into us on the street, well, first we'll pick you up.
Yeah.
And then we'll give you hope and truth.
Okay. That's what we'll do.
That's right. So we have been going over some next steps, is what we've been calling them, for the new believers who have come out of these revivals around the country.
Yep.
And we've been talking about what kind of versions of the Bible, what kind of denominations you might want to get involved with. We've been talking about internet resources. Dave and I gave a couple of lessons or examples of from our own lives of how we immersed ourselves into God when we were young believers. And we also talked about what's special in the Bible.
How to hear God's voice.
Yes, how to hear God's voice.
How to ask tough questions.
When we say we heard God say something, what do we mean by that?
Yep.
All of those good questions that people have when they first become new believers are in the last few episodes.
Yes. So you call them next steps. I call them, you know, grandpa or fatherly advice and
BS.
Yeah. We're sharing it whether you asked for it or not. You know, right?
Yeah.
And but we thought it was important because a lot of these people that are going through revival, that are 25, 30 years old, we got this information from Hibbs.
Hibbs, yeah.
What's his name?
Yep.
Pastor Jack.
Hibbs.
Yeah. Yeah. And thousands of people getting baptized in California, of all places, just recent, by the thousands, apparently.
Yeah.
And so we thought, wow, those people are going to need a fast track. Because we can't wait 40 years for them to buy a clue.
Right.
So if we can help fast track them to get some answers in a hurry.
Right, right. And, you know, the fast track is, you know, if you wait around for the pastor to answer your questions, you're going to be waiting a long time.
Long time.
So tune into One Day Closer or have your friends tune in and we can help you answer those questions. And if you have some questions that perhaps we did not yet answer, send us an email.
Send us an email at odc22@proton.me.
Excellent.
Love to hear from you.
Love to hear from you. Very good. We're going to answer one more question.
Okay.
And the question is, well, if God is good, why is there so much suffering in the world?
Well, wait a minute. That's not the question you sent me. If God's so good, why do bad things happen?
Well, okay.
Okay, suffering bad,
in
whatever.
The world.
Okay. It's all bad, right?
Okay.
So if God's so good, why do bad things happen?
And non-believers ask that question of believers all the time.
All the time.
And that's why they don't believe in God. So let's try to answer that.
You know, so the easy cop-out answer, in my opinion, that Christians have been given forever, that most people give is, well, that's because sin still exists. That's why bad things happen.
Don't you get it?
Don't you get it? And people go, I don't want to hear that.
Yeah, yeah.
Show me where the action is. It is a true statement, but the answer alone doesn't dispense a whole lot of hope.
Right.
Right? Nor is there any action. Remember, we're all about taking action.
Right.
There's no action items or action task associated with, well, because sin still exists. But, you know, in Matthew 5:45, now, this was something I looked up because I was trying to figure out, well, that's a great question. Why? Because I'll get to it. But, you know, why does it rain on the just and the unjust? I always found peace in that going, well, you know, stuff happens. And so if you go out on a rainy day, you're going to get wet.
Right.
Whether you're a good guy or a bad guy.
And whatever. Rain was a bad thing.
And rain was apparently a bad thing for us. But back in the agrarian society, rain's a good thing unless it's too much rain. Right? But anyway, we'll get there. But Matthew 5:45, as part of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says this about God the Father. He makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and on the unjust.
Yeah.
Now, I've always focused on that last part. Wow. Well, bad things happen because it rains on the just and the unjust. That's what I must have heard it at a sermon. And I adopted that.
Me too.
And thought that way forever. Right. Until I did this research, which, by the way, for those that are listening, here it is, Mark and Dave, being 40 and 30 years into this program, we both had one perspective of what that scripture means.
Right.
And we both realized, oh, my gosh, there's another way to interpret that.
Yes.
And we like it better. We like this new interpretation better. So, yep.
If you're 40 years into this, you can still learn stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. So I've always thought, like Mark, that the scripture meant that simply stated, you know, stuff happens, right? But in this verse, immediately prior to verse 45, Jesus noted a popular sentiment and then gives this countercultural command. Now, I didn't write any of this. This is from somebody else that I read an article. I just copied it. And it was so good, I'm just copying it. And I can't remember where I copied it from. So, my bad. I apologize.
It's not plagiarism because
I'm not taking any credit for it.
Right.
You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. I'm in on that. I like that. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those that persecute you. So that's what it says in verse 43 and 44. Then the first half of verse 45 says Jesus gives the rationale behind this command. So that you may be children of your Father in heaven. What's that mean?
Love your enemies so you can be children of God.
Okay.
Right?
Right. That's pretty much what it says.
But how do you do that?
Well, there you go. That's a good question. So how does God love his enemies? That's really what you're saying.
Yeah, that's the example. Yeah.
So, and here's a way. Because the sun rises on evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. So this was an agrarian society where rain was a big thing. You had to have it for the crops and the plants and
life. Right.
Right. Good weather was a very important thing. And that righteous farmers, they were God's friends, right? They would go, well, thank you for the sun today. Oh, everything's growing. And thank you for the rain yesterday. And then you had the other ones going, hey, there's too much rain. My crops are flooding out, right? Or it's too hot out here. You're cooking my corn.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it was whatever it was. And so God, nonetheless, even though those people were complaining, regardless of the farmer's disposition, whether you were happy about the rain or complaining about the rain, God gives sunshine and rain to all farmers equally.
So God is blessing everyone.
He's blessing everyone. So when God gives good sunshine and good rain to the evil farmer, it's an example of God loving his enemy. He could say, you know, that group over there just is always they're never happy.
They're shaking their fist at me.
They're always shaking their fist and complaining. Yeah. I'm just not going to rain over there anymore.
They're my enemies, but I'm still going to give them some good rain.
Still going to bless them.
Yep.
I never looked at it that way.
Yeah.
That's how God loves his enemies. So make no distinction between evil and righteousness when you're running into all these people. That's a way that we can show love.
Right? Yes. I like it. I love that.
I thought it was pretty interesting.
Now, there's a story of two men in a field, and one is an atheist, and one loves God. The atheist asked the other guy, so if God is good, why is there so much suffering in the world? And the other guy's like, well, okay, let's assume there is no God. Is there still suffering in the world? Yes, there is. Okay, why is that? Why is there suffering in the world if there's no God? I guess it's because of us. It's because of mankind, and we're not very kind to each other, right? That's an argument that I've used.
Take God out of the equation.
If you take God out of the equation, there's still suffering in the world.
That's right.
And so the logic doesn't really hold.
No.
So that's a logical response that somebody can have to that question.
It's a logical question to ask, why so much pain?
Yes.
Why do we have to take this approach in the first place? Mm-hmm. But like you said, you take God out of that question, and you still ask the same question. They don't have an answer.
Yeah.
And so why should we have an answer? Because the reason they ask the question that way is they want to blame it on somebody other than themselves.
Right.
Other than us.
Yeah.
Got to be somebody's fault.
Yep.
Right?
That's
just
right.
The sinful nature of man is to blame it on somebody else. He did it! Right?
From the beginning, it's been that way.
Yeah. So sometimes bad things happen and challenges in life are also given that we can learn and grow. I've heard that one before. Oh, well, you're going through a valley. Mm-hmm. It's just a valley. Mm-hmm. God's trying to teach you something. I don't want to learn it. Well, just maybe that's why you're going through a valley.
Yeah.
You hard-headed boy.
Yeah.
You know, and so or, that is true.
I've heard this too. A lot of Christians are praying to God, and they realize they're not very patient. And so they ask God, I need more patience. I need to be more like you, Jesus. Can you please give me some more patience?
And then when they get it.
And what do you know? They get put in situations where they have to exercise patience.
Oh, geez.
And they forgot their prayer about needing to learn patience.
Yeah.
And they're suffering through something, and they're shaking their fist at God saying, I wanted more patience. And he says, I'm giving you opportunities to be more patient.
Giving you all kinds of opportunities.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's right. I did ask for that.
Yeah, that's why they say, be careful what you pray for.
Yes.
But it doesn't matter. Even if you don't pray for it, if God thinks you need it, right, you're going to get it.
Right.
So Hebrews 12:4 talks about, Hebrews 12:6 basically. For whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, just like a father.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're a father and you're not disciplining your kids, taking the time, to instruct and guide and whatever you do, that's a bad thing. You have to take the time to do that. For whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. And he corrects every son who he accepts. Some versions say he punishes. I don't like that one. But but some of them say, you know, he directs. He corrects. He guides.
Disciplines. I like that word.
Yeah, I like that. You know, so you ask yourself, well, why would he do that? Why do you have to discipline me if you love me so much? Why? Because you're dumb as a brick. Because I'm dumb as a brick. Because our nature, our human nature, is to see what we can get away with.
Yeah.
Just how far can I push this thing?
Right.
And God's trying to get you to say, I can't babysit you all the time. And when you grow up, I'm going to need you to have done the research when you do your podcast. I'm going to need you to speak truth to the world.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to be accurate. And so the only way I can, and you're going to give instruction someday, Mark, to young people that you don't know somewhere on the other side of the globe. And I'm going to need you to know your Bible. So we're going to sit down and do some Bible. I don't want to read my Bible right now. Mark. And you're going to get some direction and some guidance. And that's going to be good for us so that we can help others.
That's
basically what we're talking about, right? So I think God disciplines us so that when we mature, we're in a position to not have to be babysat by God, and he can go off and help other people.
You know, we both love the Chosen series. They're going across the lake, and the storm comes up, and the disciples are scared because they left Jesus on the shore, but then all of a sudden they see him walking on the water. And Peter rises up and says, hey, who's that on the water? It's Jesus. Command me to come out to you, Jesus, and I will. And so Jesus says, come. But there's a storm going. And he's looking around as he's stepping out on the water. And he takes a few steps and he starts to sink. And at this point, Peter has, at least in the show, Peter has been through a lot of trial. Because he sees Jesus doing all these healings, but his own wife suffered a miscarriage.
Yeah.
And he is distraught about it, and he doesn't understand.
Why are you doing all these good things for other people that we don't even know, and you haven't done anything for me, and I've been following you?
That's right. And so he's at this point of desperation.
Yeah.
And I think that's interesting that his desperation brought him to a point of faith so that he could at least walk on the water a little bit. But then he looks around at the trouble and the storm, and he sinks. And Jesus plunges his hand into the water, and he pulls Peter up, and he says, I have to take you through these trials so that you can be a better man in the future.
Mm-hmm.
You are going to experience hard things. These are your lessons to learn. And that spoke to my heart tremendously. And I think it should speak to everybody. So, you know, don't think that if you become a Christian, your life is perfect. No, you're still going to go through some trials, some tribulations, and as the Bible calls it, some discipline.
Yeah.
So accept it.
Yeah, that's right.
Right?
I mean, that's exactly right. If it were that easy that you go, wow, all I have to do to get all my problems to go away is accept this guy that I really don't know anything about. But yeah, sure. Okay.
There'd be no atheists in the world. Right. All righty. We'll bring Dex some more after the music.
We're going to talk about some favorite Bible stories. Yes. Don't miss this.
Amen.
Fighting the battle, baby. So let's hear one of your stories. You got the favorite Bible story? This is not nap time, by the way. This is not nap time. So if you're driving and listening, stay alert.
If you're in kindergarten, maybe.
Are you kidding me?
No.
I can fall asleep driving, I'm telling you.
Yeah, wow.
I'm not in kindergarten. I'm in retirement garden.
Well, you know, one of the favorite stories of a lot of people is the David and Goliath story, but I have a point about that story that I like to make. And that is, you know, David shows up and he says, you know, who is this Philistine? And he says, I'm gonna fight him. And so Saul, the king, invites him over and he says, here, you're going to need some armor. And he tries to put Saul's armor on this little shepherd boy.
Yeah.
And it doesn't fit. It's clumsy and he can't move in it. The lesson in that is that too many times we are trying to put on somebody else's armor in our life. We're trying to be like them. And what we have to do is we have to take off that armor and say, no, God is going to deal with you individually. Don't put on somebody else's armor. He's got some armor that is going to fit you. Or it may not be any armor at all, but it's going to be the skills and the gifts that he's going to bring out of you, and you're going to have your own way of serving the kingdom of God, because we're all individuals, and we shouldn't be wearing other people's armor trying to do that.
You have to be me.
You have to be you. Okay, so that was... I don't hear that point very often when I hear that story, so I like to make that point. But
you know, in the story, the movie The Aladdin, right?
Aladdin
from Disney?
Yes, okay.
Right? Robin Williams, he's the genie?
Yes, yes.
And he goes, be yourself.
Okay.
He's in the shape of a bee. I guess you'd have to be a movie buff to know that. But anyway,
your kids should know buff. That. Don't tell me you're a Disney buff.
I have children at one time, and I watched every stinking Disney movie there was.
Well, that's true.
We don't do any more.
We got all of
those. I know.
I
see all your videos over there.
Yeah.
Jeez.
But that was when Disney was good. Now they're bad.
Bad Disney.
Well, another favorite story of mine that is not preached very often is the story when the Hebrews are in the wilderness. They've been rescued from slavery out of Egypt. They've crossed the Red Sea, and now they're wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. And as you would expect, they start grumbling. We want to go back to Egypt. We had comfort there. We had better food. We're tired of this bread. And at one point, you know, the quail come out of who knows where, and God gives them so much quail that they barf, you know. And
it's kind of like eating chicken today. Seriously.
Yes. But there's another story there where they continue to grumble and shake their fist at God, and God sends some serpents. Here they come out of the desert, slithering into the camp. And at night, I think they start biting everybody. And the bites are bad enough that people die. And so now they're shaking
their fist. Can I have quail? I'd like to go back to the quail.
They're shaking their fist at God again.
Oh, boy.
And God speaks to Moses, and he tells him, fashion a bronze serpent and put it on top of a pole. And everybody's going, serpent? An evil symbol? The serpent and the snake in the garden, we remember that. You know, these evil snakes are killing us right now. Why are you going to have us make a symbol of a snake? And God tells Moses, put the snake on a pole and lift it up. And if the Hebrew people will do one thing, then they will be healed. The only thing they have to do is they have to look at the serpent and they'll be healed. Holy cow.
Are you making this up?
No.
Okay.
Numbers 21.
We need numbers.
Go check it out.
I'm going to go check that out right now.
Numbers 21.
Yeah.
So
I'm fact checking you on the fly.
So the people are getting healed. And okay. If you think that this is relevant to Jesus, you're brilliant. But if you doubt that.
Oh, the bronze serpent is right there. In, okay. My bad.
Go look at.
Wow. It's
everybody knows John 3:16, right?
Numbers 21:6.
Go look at John 3:15, the verse right before it. Jesus says, just as the serpent was raised up in the wilderness by Moses,
okay,
so shall the Son of Man be raised up.
See, and Mark's
if we just look at him, then he's going to bring the healing.
Wow.
The goodness that we need.
I had not read this story before.
Okay. It's an amazing story.
Yes,
and
it is.
There's even another little nugget that's interesting. After the event in the wilderness, the Hebrews hung on to that bronze serpent. And later on, they worshiped it as an idol. And so they made something that was pointing to God. They made that thing, the bronze, right. They made it into an idol and they worshiped the idol instead of God. So there's a lesson in that too.
Yeah, we're really confused.
We can even take good things from God and we can turn it into something that we worship instead of continuing to worship God.
That's right.
So there's a lot of complexities and interesting things about that story. Go read it in Numbers. If you got a Bible app on your phone, just search the word for serpent and the whole story will come up there.
I can tell you, it's Numbers 21. I'm reading it while you're talking. 21:6.
Yeah.
21:6. And hey, look at this. Numbers 21:14 says, therefore it is said in the book of the wars of the Lord.
What?
That's pretty wild, don't you think? There's a book of wars?
Oh, interesting. Yes.
I guess that's kind of like what the Old Testament talks about, all the battling going on.
Yep.
Anyway, yeah, the Bible is just full of stuff that's amazing. I love it.
Yeah, that's one that doesn't get told very often because it's kind of obscure and the story is kind of short and there's only a couple other verses that relate to it. But boy, when you connect those dots, there's a lot of little interesting nuggets in there.
Yeah,
so check it out.
Yeah, that's good.
What favorite story do you have?
I have a lot. Okay. And we all have a lot, but I mean, I've always told the story of David and Goliath and thought that was a great story.
Yeah.
Not just because my name is David. I look at it this way. This was a kid that had attitude with altitude.
Right.
Right? I mean, he was just a shepherd boy, the lowly shepherd boy. But his dad tells him to go into town, check out what's going on, report back about how your brothers are doing.
Yeah.
Right? And he comes in, he sees 30,000 people scared to death.
Yep.
And afraid to cross the valley and engage.
He's got his little packet of cheese whiz with him.
He's got his cheese whiz and some crackers in his backpack. That's his deal, man. And so he had a lot of courage when he came upon the scene. He said, who is the uncircumcised? Now, you don't go up and say, hey, who is the uncircumcised, big fellow over there? I hear David saying, who is the uncircumcised Philistine? Like, that's a terrible thing.
Yeah.
You're uncircumcised. You have no right to even speak. That's a cocky, bold attitude.
I sense that he's really angry at his own army.
I think he is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's going, I'm stronger than you guys, and I'm carrying cheese. But I do have a sack down here with 5 stones in it. Right? And I know how to swing this rocket launcher like nobody's business. Anyway, I just thought that story of David is, I always found that fascinating. Mm-hmm. But, there's a lot of good people. Noah, I look at Noah as the last man standing, literally, and the struggle that he went through, everybody in town thought he was crazy as a jackwagon. Flood? What is that? Mm-hmm. They hadn't had one before, so they wouldn't know. How much wood he had to cut, with
hand tools.
It
took decades to make this.
Yeah. That's why people had to live 900 years. took that long to build anything. Gideon, he was a valiant warrior. Gideon was having a was sitting by the fire one day when an angel came and spoke to him, and he started making some food, and the angel told him to put the food this way, and so Gideon's doing that, and he's raised up from that point on to be a warrior, the valiant warrior, and so the whole story of Gideon, how he took out an entire army, is hilarious.
Yes.
It's a hilarious story.
And it's also a story of how God can just use anybody.
God can just use your enemy.
Yeah.
To destroy themselves, which I love that, because that's exactly what the Democrats are doing now. Oh. They're destroying themselves.
Oh, good point.
Devil always overplays his hand.
Mm-hmm.
They're read the news. It's falling apart right in front of them. Nehemiah.
Love that one.
I love that one. This was the poor guy that had to, I call him the difference maker.
Mm-hmm.
He's the poor guy that had to, he was the king's cupbearer, so he had to taste everything before the king did.
Right.
If it was poisoned, see ya. But he had the nerve one day to ask, hey, my whole town is getting hammered.
Mm-hmm.
It's falling apart. The walls are crumbling. Mm-hmm. Can I go down to Texas, the border, and kind of help out down there?
Yeah.
And the king says, sure. Now, you've got to have great favor with the king.
Right.
To have him go, but you're my cupbearer. Who's going to taste my food in the morning?
Right.
Please.
Yes.
And the king says, sure, I'll take a risk.
Mm-hmm.
You're taking a risk. I'll take a risk. There's a lot of cool stories and paths that you can go down in reading this story about Nehemiah.
There's also a whole point in there about how God honors borders.
Hello? Yeah, absolutely.
He had to request from the king the equivalent of passports.
That's right.
In order to walk across these other nations to get to Jerusalem so that he could help build the wall.
That's right. And like a work order that says, and I have access to the king's trees.
Right,
and you have to cut them for me.
Yes.
Bring them over.
And he was given, I think, the signet ring for the king, prove that he was who he was. See, he had an ID card. See? Okay.
Okay. We're going to stop, Matt.
Believe it or not.
You're going to be going down this path for a long time.
Believe it or not, there's modern lessons in the Old Testament.
Yeah, there are modern lessons in the Old Testament. Anyway, so I could go on and on and on, but I thought it would be better to just actually pull back the veil.
Okay.
Okay? And plug a book.
Okay? I know what book you're going to plug.
Yeah. So there's a book on our website, which is onedayclosser.biz. That's the website. And under the book club, right, instead of the book club, you'll see a book down there called Legacies of Valor, Traits of Character, The Noble and the Notable. That's a book I wrote about 10 years ago.
Those are talking about your favorite stories, aren't they?
And they talk about, in that book, you will learn how these Bible characters, so these guys we just mentioned, Joshua and Nathan and Hezekiah and Gideon and Noah, how they became difference makers. And so I walk you through the little story about each one of those guys. In there, I talk about character a lot, integrity, honor, all that, the high road kind of a thing. And I mix in there a lot of my own personal trials and tribulations and how I can relate. It's kind of a how-to or how I did something.
Right.
Also in there, I go into applying the Word of God, right? So I look at topics like acquiring wisdom and gaining understanding. What's that all about? How do you go about doing that? So all these things we've been doing for the last four or five shows about what new Christians would ask, I was going through that. And so I wrote about that. How do you turn adversity into strengths? How do you know for sure that you're getting guidance from God and not the other guy?
Mm.
Right? How to stand in faith. I mean, when you're at the end of the rope, how to just go, I'm on solid ground. This is as far as it goes. I'm at the end of the road. I'm at the end of my rope. What else can you do at that point? How about hit your knees?
Yeah, there you go.
And say, somebody. Anybody. Mm-hmm. God, please. Understanding God's character. I think that was a big one. I think I got two chapters on that. Because if we could understand who God is, then you would also see how God, it tells you how God sees us.
Right.
We are sinners, granted, but we're not worthless pieces of junk. We are his pottery. We are the Rose of Sharon, baby. I mean, he's counting on us. We are his creation, and he is working on us and disciplining us and teaching us and guiding us so that we can become this shining thing on a hill that he can go, well done, yeah, my good and faithful servant. That's my man. Yep. That's my girl. That's what I do. And you'll learn a lot about resolve. You know, how do you find resolve? And how do you hold on to it?
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to just be doggone stubborn, but you have to be stubborn for Christ, and you have to be stubborn. You have to know what's the difference of right and wrong. And being stubborn if you're right is a good thing. Being right. stubborn if you're wrong means correction's coming.
Yeah. In a sense, you know, King David, when he was just the shepherd boy, he was stubborn.
Absolutely.
He knew God. He knew God's character. And so he was incensed when he showed up and this, you know, big Philistine is taunting the armies of God.
Yeah.
He was incensed. And so in a stubborn way, he just went down there and battled with him and took him out.
Yeah. So I have two chapters, I think, that walks you through the whole maturity as a warrior. So going from getting born again, getting saved, through and the pathway to becoming a warrior for Christ. And when I say a warrior for Christ, I'm talking about prayer warrior, right? And so it's about, you know, Christianity, and then you become a soldier. You're just a low-ranking soldier with little knowledge and all this other stuff. So go check that out. I think people will get a kick out of that. It's on our website. You can buy it anywhere online, through all kinds of different sources. But I wanted to close out with a scripture.
Okay, awesome.
Proverbs 11:25 says, the generous man will be prosperous, and he who waters will himself be watered. Okay, so you go, well, that sounds real nice. That's a principle.
That almost comes full circle with the sun and the water and the rain.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And what's our purpose? What's our purpose, Mark? Right? We are being generous with our time.
Right.
Right now. Right? We do this. We've done this for a year. And we're watering people. And we want to be watered. And so this
and
is...
And we are. It's amazing how much we've learned.
Absolutely.
Right?
We learn a lot.
Yeah.
And so we're being blessed for this. And we want these other people to be blessed for that. Right? But here's another one of these silly scriptures that sits in Proverbs that you and I can find great peace in and go, yeah, I needed that. I needed encouragement.
Amen.
Amen, right?
Love it. Well, we're going to take another deep breath. We're going to keep the faith.
It's not our last breath, though.
We're going to get in the Word, and we're going to remember we're one day closer because we have a job to do until we don't.
Somebody with a hurt that I could have helped. Somebody with a hand that I could have held. When I just can't see past myself, Lord, help me be a little more like mercy, a little more like grace, a little more like kindness. A little less like me.